Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing on in James, and our subject today is hope for men who need more patience. Our speaker is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Well, good morning, men. Welcome to Man in the Mirror Men's Bible Study. We want to give a shout out to the guys who are joining us through the podcast. And so on the count of three, let's give them that warm, arousing Man in the Mirror welcome. One, two, three. Hurrah. Welcome, men. We're glad to have you with us. So as you know, we're in this series on the wisdom of James. Today, we're going to talk about the topic of hope for men who need more patience. I can't wait to hear what I have to say, by the way. Actually, I spent 2 days getting ready for this talk. Usually, I spend one day for you, but this time it's 2 days, one for you and one for me. So, it's a very important topic, and we're going to begin by talking about what is the patience problem? What is the patience problem? And it can be articulated in many different ways, but let's talk about it in the context of frustrating situations. It could be a job that you don't like, or a job you can't find. Maybe you're unemployed, and the frustration that comes out of that. A project that you are working on that's on the ropes. It might be something work-related. It might be a renovation of a home. It could be any kind of a project. It might be finding a life mate. You have this ache to find a companion to share your life with. And that's being delayed for whatever reason. Or maybe it's you have a bickering marriage. And, you and your wife somehow just have gotten in this pattern, long-term pattern of this sort of bickering. And so little things that set you off over and over again. And you become impatient, and then you do things you shouldn't do, of course. It could be children with issues. Those could be learning disabilities. Those could be drug problems. Those could be gender confusion, almost any kind of problem with a child that you might have. It could be that you're bored. You lack purpose, meaning, direction. Buying or selling a business. Maybe you've been trying to buy a business for a long, long time, or wanting to start a business for a long, long time, or like a friend I've been praying for every day for over a year has been trying to sell a business. And just the frustration that he's gone through, and whatever your situation is. So just think about your own frustrating situation as we talk about how to have more patience. And as you think about your situation, you know, what's the temptation? Well, the temptation is to lose your patience, right? You don't need patience if everything is going your way. But it's when you find yourself saying things like, you know, I just don't know if I can take it anymore. Or in a conversation with a coworker, you know, I'm about to lose my patience here. Or you say to a spouse or a child, you know, you're stepping on my last nerve here. Then what happens? Well, the next thing that happens is that we take matter into our own hands. And this is the risk of impatience, taking matters into our own hands. So it's worth noting that patient people still experience delays and get blocked from their goals. Patient people still get annoyed and frustrating in human dynamics and relationship dynamics. And patient people still get hit with misfortune and suffer as a result of that. What they don't do, though, what patient people don't do is they don't take these matters into their own hands. So how does James help us address this problem? James exhorts us to look at bigger picture patience. So we're going to look at this text today, James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. In verses 7 and 8, is you have the beginning exhortation at the sort of like this is Roman numeral 1, and then they're going to be A, B, and C. But Roman numeral number 1 at the top of the outline, James says, be patient. Then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. Now, there are a few things here that are interesting. The idea is that James is taking a turn here. He's been warning rich people and things like that, but now he's returning to us, to the brothers and the sisters. And in the face of the things that might happen to us because of what other people are doing, that perhaps suffering or delay or being blocked or whatever it is, he's saying, be patient then, you, me, until the Lord's coming. Now, this is the older, the younger brother of Jesus. Jesus is the older brother of James. And James is talking about his older brother. Be patient, you Christians, until my brother comes back. Now, what's fascinating is that the word that's used here, and I realize this is a Bible word, a Greek word, it's parousia. Some of you may have heard that again. But it always is used in the context of the return of our King. Our King is coming back. So James is talking about his older brother. My brother, the King, the King is coming back. And this is the context of patience. The context of patience is that we have a King, and that King is coming back. And as you'll see, until he comes back, he's also going to take care of us. He's going to take care of everything when he gets back. So let's look at these three scenarios that James lays out here. And the first one is, we just talked about, you know, we're frustrated when we're delayed or blocked. And that's the first scenario, being delayed or blocked. James writes, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. So he uses the example of a farmer waiting for a crop. And he says, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. So this is something good. This is something good that he's working toward. You're working toward something good. You have made an investment, and you've made an investment in your education. You've made an investment in learning a vocation. You have made an investment into a relationship. You've made some kind of an investment, and you're having to practice deferred gratification, right? Because the return doesn't come necessarily right away. And so that's the scenario. What we want something good, but it's being delayed. Or worse, it's being blocked. Maybe we have an opponent. Maybe you have someone who is also trying to beat you to the finish line. He goes on, you two then, you two, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. And so once again, James puts patience in the perspective of his older brother, our King, coming back. And so he gives us not only the what to do, to be patient and stand firm, but he gives us the why. Because we're Christians. Because we put our trust and our faith in a good God, in a great God. More on that. Then the second scenario is that sometimes we're frustrated and we end up becoming annoyed and irritable. And this is usually in the context, often in the context of relationships, which is what James talks about next. He says in verse 9, don't grumble against one another. Now, there's a difference between grumbling and groaning. The Holy Spirit groans for us with wordless, he intercedes for us with groans so deep that words cannot express, Romans 8, 26 and 27. And we groan in this tent, this temporary body that we have. We groan waiting for our redemption. And groaning is part of the Christian experience. The Holy Spirit groans for us. We groan for God. We groan for the Spirit. So groaning is just, and moaning, wailing, all of these things, lamentations, these are all part of the Christian experience. So that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is grumbling against one another. He's talking about losing our patience with other people, being irritable, being quick to anger, not being good listeners, and lashing out at people. And he says not to do this or you will be judged. Again, this is one of the roles that the king has when he comes back, when the second coming takes place. Jesus is going to come. One of his roles will be as a judge, not to judge you to heaven or hell. You've already been received into his kingdom forever, and that can't change. But to be judged to see whether your works were the quality of your works. So did you build with wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and costly stones? And so, if you you're going to be saved one way or the other, but if you don't build with a way that makes it possible for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, you may be saved, but the Bible says only as one escaping through the flames, because you didn't put in the effort. One of the ways we put in the effort is not to grumble against one another. We see this everywhere today. We live, and it's so well documented. It's almost when anybody talks about it anymore, I just kind of roll my eyes. But it is true that we, with the social media age in which we live, people grumble. They grumble all the time. They're always not everybody, but so many people at a highly visible level are complainers. It's just, they grumble. They're just constantly, there's a certain negativity. There's a certain negativity that seems to be more prevalent, at least to me, than it did a few decades ago. You may or may not find it that way. But whatever the case is that if you have gotten yourself sucked into this kind of always, I almost said bitching. If you find yourself always saying things you shouldn't say, or it could be when I said I wasn't supposed to say. If you find yourself always doing that, you might want to pause and ask yourself, why am I not more patient? I mean, why am I not looking at all of this in light of the bigger picture? That my king is in charge. He's coming back. He's going to take care of everything. And why am I such a grumbler? And, it's so interesting. One of the reasons that younger guys are not attracted to the witness of older guys is because, honestly, a large percentage of older guys are just grumblers. They are. They're just, grumpy old men. And who wants to be around grumpy old men? If you have Jesus, if you have the King in your life, you ought to be the most positive person in the world. All right. The judge is standing at the door. In other words, this coming again, it's soon. It's soon. We don't know when, but it's soon. And by the way, in the context of 80 years to eternity, it is soon, okay? No matter when it comes, it's pretty soon. So that's James 5, 9. So we have two scenarios, and then the third is James 5, 10 and 11, and it's the scenario of misfortune. suffering. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. What is it? It's Matthew. Chapter 5, verse 11. I'll read it in 12. Matthew 5, verses 11, 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, said Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Watch this. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, we think about all the great contributions of the prophets and just, we read their words, but their lives were like hell on earth. Their lives were miserable. They were chased after, they were beaten, they were put in stocks. They were unwavering, but they were persecuted. And so James says, hey, if you want to be patient, look at the patience of the prophets, everything that they had to go through. There was not a single prophet who had a really easy life. Consider, in the face of your suffering, the prophets. We count them as blessed who have persevered, but they have to persevere. And so when we suffer, we have an example to follow in them. And he gives a specific example. He said, you've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. What did the Lord finally bring about in Job's life? So he blessed the second part of Job's life more than the first, twice as much. So Job's suffering, you've had suffering. Everybody in the room has suffered. And anytime we do suffer, if you know the story of Job, it's hard not to go to the life of Job and think about Job. He lost his children. His business was taken away from him. He had a bunch of rustlers came and stole his herds. His health failed. He had says this, he was scraping his skin with pottery because he was so whatever was going on was so horrible. And his wife said, you know, why are you holding on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? That's a good woman. And what did he say? He said, oh, you foolish woman. You foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So we have this example, this specific example of Job's perseverance. And then we see what the Lord finally brought about. He restored the fortunes and the family of Job in this lifetime. And then the text goes on, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So we have this picture of the second coming of our King. And by the way, did you know this probably will come as a surprise to most of you. In the New Testament, one out of every 13 verses refers to the second coming of Christ. It's like the kingdom of Jesus and the coming back of our King. It's like the dominating theme. It's the dominating theme of the New Testament. And so James is just carrying that on here. That it's not for this life alone. In fact, Paul said, if only for this life we have trusted in Christ Jesus, we are to be pitied more than all people. That's what Paul had to say about it. So those are the three scenarios that we have. And so that brings us to the big idea. Patience is me pausing before I take matters into my own hands to consider God's bigger picture. Patience is me not taking matters into my own hands. It's it's before I do something like that, it's to consider God's bigger picture. That's what patience is. The dictionary definition for patience: bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like, an ability or willingness to suppress restlessness and annoyance when confronted with delay, quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, diligence. These are some of the ways that the dictionary defines patience. Our big idea, patience, that's me pausing before I take matters into my own hands to consider God's bigger picture. So let's do the next thing then and talk about how to keep a cooler head, how we can keep a cooler head. Why do we want to do this? Well, we're an application-oriented Bible study. So we're looking for what the Bible is telling us about how we can better our lives today, right? So here's what to do instead of taking matters into your own hands. Here are some thoughts about what to do instead. First of all, stop. Anytime, nobody's going to be able to do this perfectly, right? Especially in the heat of the moment and when you are having an emotional response. But I encourage you, as James would encourage all of us, to be patient, my brothers, because the King is coming. And so when you are tempted to take matters into your own hands, stop. Just take a beat, stop. And I'm not a patient person by nature. I'm a type A, I'm a go-getter. I like things a certain way. I like things done well. I despise things not done well. I just don't. Competence is my idol. I love competence. I love people that do things well. I don't have much patience for people who don't try. I just don't. Now, there are people who can't try, and there are people who shouldn't try because for whatever reason they're disabled or they don't have the mental faculties. But for a person who can and should, and then they don't, boy, I just have a hard time keeping my patience with that. So this is something I developed decades ago, and it's really helped me a lot, so I'm passing it along to you. Whenever you get in a situation that's confusing, irritating, delayed, blocked, frustrating, makes you irritable, you're suffering, there's misfortune, and you feel like taking matters into your own hands, which is what patience really results in, right, is to go up two levels in the outline. So I do this all the time. People at the office know this because I will, in a meeting, say, okay, well, let's go up two levels in the outline. I've said that hundreds of times at the office. Let's just go up two levels in the outline. And what does that mean? That means that God has a bigger picture. There's another perspective, and it's not a human-only perspective. It's kind of like when you're lost in the woods, how do you find out where you are? You shimmy up a tree so that you can locate yourself in the forest, right? That's what going up two levels in the outline is like. So stop before, your wife has just said the same thing that has sent you off for 10 years or 5 years, however long you've been married or more. In other words, she was also doing it before you got married. and you always react the same way. You take matters into your own hands and you retaliate. You defend yourself. Just this weekend, for those of you guys who are married and might have something like that in your marriage, I certainly do, I would like to encourage you, just stop, take a beat. Go up two levels in the outline, all right? and then see God's bigger picture. Okay, he doesn't want me to grumble. He's going to judge that. He's coming. He's coming back. He's coming back soon. And he wants me to be patient. He doesn't want me to take matters into my own hands. He gives me the example. We've talked about it in an earlier sessions in this series about 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 23, where Jesus gave us an example. He did not retaliate when he was. Oh, I should probably just, it's just good enough to look up. I wasn't planning to do, I don't have enough time to do it. But you can look that up. We looked at it before. Just see God's larger picture. In Proverbs, and I'm not even going to give you the address, I'm not even going to give you the addresses. Just listen. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. And then from Ecclesiastes. So, see God's bigger picture, you see? And then affirm that he is sovereign, good, and great. Sovereign, he's in control. Good, that's his character, his basic character. And then that he's great, that's his power. That he has the ability, he knows what you're going through, he cares, and he has the power to do something about it. And then trust the outcome to him. So instead of taking the matter into your own hands, entrust the outcome to God. And that do the good you can. Do the good you can. As St. Ignatius said, pray as if everything depends on God and work as if everything depends on you. Almost perfect theology, not perfect, but pray as though everything depends on God. And then work it out as though it depends on you. So you can't unscramble an egg, but you can learn to like scrambled eggs. You can't change the delays, the blocks. You can't change the relationships that aren't working the way they're supposed to. On your own, at least, you can pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you. You can't, but you can't really change those things. You can't hurry up the sale of your business. You can't hurry up working out the fact that your coworkers don't like you very much. You can't work all those things out on your own, and you certainly can't work them out immediately. Those are scrambled eggs. Those are scrambled eggs. But I think the context of this text is you can learn to like scrambled eggs. You can learn because of your competence in God. You can learn how to be okay with this. And so patience is a couple things. Patience is, first of all, it's a fruit of the Spirit. From Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 20. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not something you have to go out and find. Are you ready for this? Patience is something that's already inside of you, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So Billy Graham was once said, where did you get your patience? Why are you so patient? And he said, well, I'm not any more patient than anybody else. I just use the patience I already have. So it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So understand that if you want to be more patient, walk in the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then love is patient. Out of all of the things that are mentioned in I said 1 Corinthians 14, it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Of all the attributes of love in the great love chapter, what's the first attribute of love? Love is patient. It's foundational. Again, you don't need more patience. Just use the patience that you already have. The big idea today, again, patience is me pausing before I take matters into my own hands to see God's bigger picture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for this text, which actually seems like it's stream of consciousness the first time I read it, but Lord, it's so organized. It's so clear. And certainly it's in the context of your kingdom that your kingdom that's coming soon, that we can trust in you and your bigger picture to not take matters into our own hands and to be patient. We ask that you would help each of us to apply this to our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at BibleStudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.